You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Lunch Break ABCs, where we come at you monthly to bring you tips and tricks and strategies and philosophies on how to build a better business and how to build a better life. We are the Lunch Break ABCs. I am joined today by Christine Smith, Ben Albert, Andrew Biernapp, and myself, Brandon Eastman, to help bring you these strategies and have a great discussion that can leave you with one thing that will help you to improve in those areas that I just mentioned. Today, we're talking about the most frequent topic, or the most recent topic, I should say, that you voted on, that you wanted to see, because all of our topics are voted on by you, and that topic is the art of Kaizen, the Japanese philosophy of Kaizen, and specifically how you can apply Kaizen to your life and your business success. You might be asking, what is Kaizen? Maybe you've heard of it, but you're not quite sure what it means. Well, we weren't 100% sure either until we looked up the definition. And this is what the definition of Kaizen is. Kaizen means continuous improvement of processes and functions of an organization through change. And not just an organization, but for a person as well, as a singular being, not just an organizational being. And in layman's language, Kaizen brings continuous small improvements to the overall processes that we follow as a person and an organization when it comes to success. Kaizen aims at continuous improvement of processes, not only in one sector, but all of the sectors of our life and our business. And we're going to be talking about how you can use this philosophy to move your own business and life forward. So I'm curious to hear from you guys, and maybe we can go right to you, Andrew, because you're right below me here on the stream. How has this philosophy of Kaizen impacted your life and business? And when you see this term, what does it mean to you?
Yeah. So for me, this means dad's going on a consulting gig. So my dad literally was a Kaizen black belt and did all this other stuff. So for him, this was his profession. And he always had some sort of Kaizen book or Six Sigma or some other stuff that he was diving into. And so he was a change expert. And so I come by Kaizen by birthright, I think. And so so it's always been a part of my life. I've just always seen my dad interacting with that, with process improvement, with working with organizations. And so it's just kind of naturally the way that I think. I'm always thinking, and how can this be optimized? How can this be improved? This kind of sucks. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. I think it's kind of interesting because, I'll kind of compare and contrast myself with my older brother. So I think my dad got into Kaizen stuff a little bit later. And so maybe it kind of wasn't around for him quite as much as it was for me. And he's very much a kind of drag it out, grind it out, get it done kind of guy. He will beat his head on the wall until the wall breaks. That's just his style. And so for me, I'm not that style. call it maybe not quite as much grittiness that he has, but I'm always trying to do it a better way. I'm trying to do it an easier way. There's gotta be something here that we can improve. And so for me, the idea of improving processes and streamlining things often starts with annoyance or inconvenience or something I don't like. That usually is a signal for me that something needs to get changed here. Something's got to get fixed because I don't want to do this anymore. And I find that there's certain things that I'll just get to a point where I just stop doing them just because I don't want to do them anymore. And so, I need to find a way, kind of using Kaizen as that guiding light and that principle. How can I systematize this? How can I delegate this? How can I create some sort of program or create some sort of system that this is going to be taken care of and handled, if not by me, maybe by somebody else, or maybe even just technology can kind of take the wheel on that one. So that's kind of my background with Kaizen. So I'm definitely pumped to dive into this topic today.
How about you, Ben? How does it fit into your life and business?
Yeah, I was hoping you guys would go, because this is such a big topic. It's interesting because I wasn't really raised with Kaizen as a philosophy, or I didn't really know that I was doing Kaizen when I was. because we've talked about it on the show before. Like I was a quiet kid, barely spoke the first 13 years of my life, had a bar mitzvah, was crackling, sweating all over the place, had crazy social anxiety. And then late in high school, going into college, I got more into that self-development, realistically, because I was trying to figure myself out. And over time, I started reading, I started writing, I started journaling, I eventually launched a podcast, and, you know, was constantly skilling up. But I wasn't thinking of it as, you know, slight, moderate change. I wasn't thinking of continuous improvement. I wasn't thinking of incremental change. I was just trying to figure myself out, and it was making me feel better. But then you go 10 years down the road, and I'm a completely different human. Like, the man I used to be wouldn't recognize the man I am now, and I'm so different than I used to be because of that incremental change that at the time I didn't even realize I was doing Kaizen by enacting small habits and small changes that would better me long term. But I feel like it's just a testament of the things that are possible and the frustration that sometimes it takes 1, 5, 10, 15 years until you really see that adaption occur. But we're constantly adapting because of that incremental change, and it's mind-blowing what we can accomplish over time.
Very beautifully said. And Andrew, I never knew the implications that Kaizen had on your life. It's very fascinating that your dad like dove into like the study of Kaizen. And it's funny you mentioned Six Sigma, because I have no idea what Six Sigma means. No clue. And I'm curious, maybe I'll ask you, because I did see on a few websites while finding the definition of Kaizen that Six Sigma was somehow tied into what Kaizen is. But real quick, Laura Loney wrote, "There's a great book, an old one, but a great one, called One Small Step Can Change Your Life, The Kaizen Way by Robert Moore." And I've never read any book on Kaizen, so Laura, I think I'm going to pick up that book after I'm done with the last one, Story Worthy, which Ben, you actually recommended to me, which I'm going to check out, which, by the way, is incredible. But that's very cool. And then Nick wrote, "This is a super interesting topic. I'm loving that I'm catching this one live. Definitely looking more into Kaizen." Awesome. Great to have you here, Nick. Great to have you here, Laura. If you're joining us, then let us know how Kaizen fits into your life, what it means to you, and let us know if you had no idea what it meant before you tuned into this live. That's awesome, too. Be sure to engage. How about you, Christine? You've made a lot of continuous improvements in your life, and you're constantly redefining yourself and making progress. How does Kaizen fit into your life?
So kind of like Ben, it was something that happened by accident. You didn't really know, like, oh, I'm doing all these things. I didn't know there was a name for it, right? And interestingly, Kaizen was a name that it was over a year ago. We were helping a client figure out a new name for their company. And Kaizen was something that came up. He's like, oh, that's really overused in our industry. You know, we don't want to use that. But it was an interesting term because it reflected exactly what they did as a business, was continuous improvement for their clients and looking at the most efficient way to do things. And for me, I've always been that type of person where, and I've mentioned this, you know, on our podcast many times, you know, the strategically lazy, like I hate putting so much time into something that could I put less time into this and still get the same results. And it's, I don't know if it's necessarily like laziness, but sometimes I feel like there has to be a better way. Like I shouldn't have to put so much time into this thing that I'm not 100% like, I don't know if I want to put 100% of the time, but I have to right now because I don't have a choice. Right. Or I don't love how the process is. And it could be something as simple as like house chores. I always bring that up because we all hate doing that stuff, right? Like, is there a better way for my, you know, washing machine to get into the dryer, right? Like, because that always needs to happen. They literally have a machine where it's all in one. And I'm like, oh my God, I need that, right? Like, that's an improvement in my process. I don't have to touch it until it's officially done. And if I could fold everything and put it away, we'd be on our way to me liking laundry again, right? But I think for me, it's the efficiencies, right? I want to spend time doing the things that mean the most to me or I enjoy doing, which I think we all are there. So the things that I'm not a big fan of, the maintenance things that we all have to do for like our bodies or for our businesses, either is that something I can delegate out or can I find a way that still helps me move forward, but I don't hate it through the entire process. Like Andrew, I'm the same way. If I don't like it, eventually I'll probably stop doing it. Just because it's just not, I'm not going to force myself to do something I don't like, right? Like everyone wonders why I don't drink coffee. Well, I'm not going to force myself to drink it. I don't like it. Why would I force myself to drink it, right?
That dirty bean water. We don't need that.
Hey, no hate on this drink.
never gotten on the coffee train. But I always look at, and it's interesting, like, I feel like this shift didn't really happen actually until I was forced to be a single mom. So I had to be really efficient when I had my kid and when I didn't have my child at the time, because I didn't really have anybody else. Right. And I didn't want to just dump my kid off to somebody when I had her, because I didn't have her all the time. So I had to make sure I was super efficient with how I worked, how I hosted events, because I had to do it on the days I didn't have her. So I wasn't, you know, missing out on my time. So it's almost like until the magnifying glass is put on that situation, you would have no other reason to look at it, right? Why would you have a reason to evaluate the things you've been doing because they've been working, right? You don't necessarily realize, well, is it been working the most efficiently? You know, am I spending the best amount of time doing this? Should I be doing this? Is this something I should be spending time with? I really don't think we're evaluating that enough until we're forced to. And I think at that point, it was a turning point for me, because I started evaluating all the other things, Like I started a meal service at that time, because it was much easier. Like we all joke about how when you turn into adult, the biggest thing is like, what's for dinner, right? Well, yes. Believe it or not, how much energy is exhausted when thinking about just that. And depending on where you sit in your household, you might be the one that's meal planning. Meal planning is a lot of work, right? Figuring out, okay, what days are we cooking? What is it that we're cooking? What ingredients do we need to have? Okay, how are we getting, are we going to the grocery store? Or are we doing Instacart? Like, that's a whole thing. And there's a lot of brain power associated with that. That could that be used somewhere else? And I know I get really deep into this stuff, but all of those little things matter and add up. And at that time, I started with a meal service because I could figure out my menu and it was done. I didn't have to do additional grocery shopping, except for, you know, some perishable items. And then, but I didn't figure out what was for dinner. It was already figured out for me a couple of days a week, right? And, you know, then I start looking at, okay, well, what about automation for bills, automation for savings, some stuff I taught as a financial advisor to people. The biggest thing is people don't realize how powerful automation can be. Like in a business, from a process standpoint, with employees, with completing tasks, even in your own household, you know, how can you automate things? Whether it's like, I literally set like reminders, even for things that happen like once a year, cleaning out my dryer vent, which by the way, you should do years, like something that we don't think about, right? I literally have a reminder. I actually got it done for the first time. I don't think it ever had been done in my house. So got my dryer vent cleaned. You don't need to do it every year, every couple of years. I literally have a reminder now in my calendar to schedule that appointment, because I'm not going to remember in 2 years, like to do something like that, right? So why are we forcing ourselves to have that file in our filing cabinet that's already full and overflowing? So, you know, scheduling out those tasks or hiring somebody else to do it, it's a complete game changer for myself. Like having those reminders, it's almost like checkbox, it's done. I don't have to worry about it because I know that I've been proactive in making sure that those reminders are set in place or that automation is set in place. Huge game changer for sure.
I love that. So like I do that with my calendar, like just automated stuff. If we have an appointment scheduled, you're going to get something right away that says, hey, you have an appointment scheduled. And then at certain intervals, you're going to get follow-ups that are nice and pleasant. But I didn't send them. I wrote those a year ago. Right. And so like, but it happens automatically. And one thing my wife and I are looking into on the home front is a laundry service. Cause like she hates it. I hate it. And neither of us really wants to do it. But man, we got kids and we got a lot going on, and like there's a lot of laundry that happens, and it's very time consuming. So that's something we're kind of looking into, like just chuck it in a bag, throw it on the porch. Someone picks it up and can come back with folded clothes that we just put away. So that's a dream. You know what I mean? And to not have to worry about that and certain other aspects is huge. And I think I think Kaizen in some ways really ties into that kind of just continual thought process of how can this be optimized? How can we make this better?
I think it's the peace associated with it too. Like, I think of the Japanese mentality of like, you know, being one with yourself type mentality, right? And I think we all are very busy, right? And there's this constant distraction of all the things. And, you know, are you ever like at peace with how things are in your life? Or are you constantly living in the chaos of your reactions to everything? And I've noticed that a lot of people live in the chaos. Like, not even a matter of your life isn't, you know, organized or planned to a T. I'm not talking like that. I'm talking in the sense of you're not thinking ahead on things. You know, you have a doctor's appointment for your annual exam. Like, figure out when the best time to do that is, right? Maybe it's on a Friday afternoon and that can be planned with something else, right? Like, just taking that little extra step in how you're doing things. Because I think that's, it's not just saying continuous improvement, it's an intentionality behind how you're planning things and how you're having discussions with yourself on, is this going to cause an issue somewhere else later? Is this going to cause a domino effect? And I don't think people are thinking about those things. They're just kind of dealing with it as it comes. And I know that it's hard to think past a week, but it has completely changed how I look at things. I literally feel like I can look 5 years in the future and say, okay, are we on these certain tracks? You know, what's sustainable, what's not? Even, you know, things like savings, like the average household has less than $5,000 in savings, which is alarming, right? Why is that? And what I found as a financial advisor, it's literally the act of saving. People aren't doing it. Well, how do you fix that? Automation. You literally have it go from your paycheck to an account that you either can't touch or you need a couple more touches to get to it, right? If you don't see it, you're not going to lose it, right? You'll have a much higher opportunity for success.
So that concept of automation with finances is literally the only reason why I have a savings account. I'm probably one of the most impulsive people when it comes to finances, especially from when I started making a lot of money when I was 18 to 21, especially. And I just spent it all, the paycheck to paycheck, buying all these things, making a lot of money, but spending all of it. And that idea of automation, I had literally 20% from every paycheck go to a separate account where, like you said, I have to literally download the app, log back into the app in order to access the account, right, in order to get to it. So knowing yourself is so powerful when it comes to this concept of Kaizen. And as an example, you mentioned your meal service. I have a meal service too that I've had for the last year, maybe even a little bit longer, called Fresh and Lean. And it's no sponsor here. We're not going to put a link anywhere like that, guys, but I've been using Fresh and Lean for a while now. And I really enjoy the meals. And it's because I know myself. If I don't do that, like Andrew, when we got on the stream, you're eating your meal. And I'm like, what are you eating? And he's eating ground turkey and he's eating like rice and vegetables and tikka masala sauce over all of it. And I'm like, dude, how did you get that? And he's like, well, my wife helps meal plan, right? So you meal plan for the week, which is great. But I know me. I know that I'm not going to meal plan. So how can I get the next best thing? I can sign up for a meal service. How can I help myself grow financially? I can focus on automation when it comes to finances. So I think that there's a giant misconception in this world of growth. And I think that is, that person is older than me, therefore they are more wise. Mm-hmm. It is the greatest misconception. Just because someone's older doesn't mean that they've constantly asked themselves the most important question of all when it comes to Kaizen, which is, how do I grow? Not will I grow, because that's your choice, but how do I grow? And when it comes to me, you mentioned, Ben, that you came across personal development by accident. Christine, you mentioned that it happened by accident and it just kind of happened. Well, the same was for me. When I was 21, I discovered personal development. And I had mentors who came into my life, and I won't get into the mentor stories, right? Because I love the smiles across the stream right now. And I had mentors who introduced me to it, and I learned the process of how to grow, because change is inevitable, but growth is optional. And growth is that concept of Kaizen. And I see the comments coming in here right now, which is super cool. I'll read your comments here in a second, guys. But growth is optional. So how do you grow? And I think about me, when I first became a leader, I didn't know how to lead people. The title didn't give me this superpower of, okay, I have the title now. I have the identity. That means that I can do this. No, I had to learn how to do it, right? And when I ask myself the question, how do I grow? For me, it's looking ahead. seeing who I want to be, seeing what I want to do, seeing what a successful job well done actually looks like, and then deconstructing, okay, what do I need to know and or do in order for this to be a successful job completed? Right. So for leadership, I had to start buying books on leadership. I had no idea what the principles even were. I bought books like Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink and Leaders Eat Last by Simon Sinek and a bunch of different books. Entree Leadership by Dave Ramsey, who also had the concept of automation that you mentioned, Christine. I got that from Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover. So knowledge is super important. But again, knowledge isn't everything. Although I just read a quote where if you are constantly in pursuit of new knowledge and new understandings, then the income and the money will always flow to you. And I thought that was fascinating because it's been true in my life. So the question is, how do you grow? Right? For me, I look ahead. I deconstruct. I ask myself, what do I need to know in order to grow in this next chapter or phase in my life? Which that has a pre-assumption that you've looked ahead and asked yourself, where do I want to be? Where do I want to grow? And then the all-important question comes in of, how will I grow? When you ask yourself that question and you understand that process, you can begin to automate it, like what we're talking about right now. And that's when you'll begin to see constant growth. I've seen people who were 25 who are more wise than some 40-year-olds that I've met. I've seen people who were in their 60s that have relived the same 30 years for the past 30 years. It doesn't necessarily mean you're more wise. It just means that your number, your age has a higher number, right? So growth is optional, but change is inevitable. And Wessam Halawa said, I've been following Kaizen continuously for a long time now, unintentionally through my personal and professional development. It's amazing how Kaizen can impact our personal and professional growth by fostering that growth mindset, encouraging continuous learning, and promoting the value of small, persistent improvements. Well said, Wessam. Thanks for contributing. And Christine O'Rourke wrote, building our own capability to anticipate things is the challenge. I love this conversation. Kaizen has been part of my professional life for years. I'm curious, Christine, what does that mean for you? Building your own capability to anticipate things is the challenge. What does that mean to you? I'm curious to hear a little bit more about that. But I'm curious to hear from you, Andrew.
Sure.
Or whoever wants to take it, not just Andrew.
Yeah.
Of like, what are the first steps that someone can take to really incorporate this principle of Kaizen into their life? Like, what do you think the first things we could look at is?
Sure. And I almost want to like zoom out a little bit because we hear the word knowledge tossed around a lot, right? And, you know, we're in the quote unquote knowledge economy right now. We have knowledge workers and we're very much in a phase of disruption right now. There's a lot going on, a lot of AI stuff, a lot of all kinds of other automations that are happening. And it's got some people very freaked out. A lot of people very worried about employment, their jobs, their future, what's going to happen next. And, you know, I think right now we're finding ourselves kind of in like a knowledge economy. And I feel like we're like headed towards like a wisdom economy versus knowledge, because we've gotten to a point finally where knowledge is cheap. Algorithms and machines can just tell you the knowledge. They can just answer it for you. It's out there. You just go type it in and you have it. Knowledge doesn't mean anything anymore. But discernment, being able to take a next step, being able to know what the right move is, having that ability to introspect, to understand, to make something better, to find the opportunity for improvement, you're not going to necessarily find a lot of that in an algorithm. You're not necessarily going to find a lot of that in some of the knowledge that's out there, right? It has to come with something else. It's knowledge plus experience. It's knowledge plus other things that are going on. And so circling back to the original question was, what was the first step? Was that what it was?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I look at the first step is, okay, figuring it out, knowing, understanding, you know, and so whatever situation you're in, it's the identification, right? You know, you can't solve a problem until you've identified it. And so I think that's where we have to start is like, you know, do we have our goggles on so we can actually see these things in our life that are not working, that are causing us trouble, that are getting in the way of productivity, that, you know, for my dad's work, right? That slowed down the assembly line, right? What is it in the process that's the holdup? Go fix the holdup and then run the process again and see what the new holdup is and then to go fix that, right? And so that's very much what he did is that he kind of fixed all these different pieces and, right, you create this more finely tuned and optimized machine. And so first thing I'd probably present is like, are we even good at identifying what we need to fix, what we need to work on? And I'm kind of curious for you guys, how do you identify what the next thing is?
Yeah. I think the other thing too, I wanted to explain more on like the growth thing, right? People automatically assume that that isn't a direct result, right? I grew because this happened. I think growth can also be considered you managing chaos better, because I think that's what life is really, right? It's chaos and then our reactions, right? How are you reacting to things? Did you plan how you would react to that? So like someone made a comment about essentially acknowledging the planning side of things. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with how you actually improve and acknowledge the things. Okay, this happened again. Kind of like a behavior situation, like use children as an example. Okay, your kid keeps doing the same thing and isn't responding. Okay, well, then you need to try something different, right? Or remove them from the situation. The same applies to all the things that happen in our life. I'm not saving enough. You need to make a change. You have evaluated it and addressed the problem. I'm not saving enough. It's not allowing me to do this, this, and this, right? So I think the identification is also the reality of a shortcoming, which is something that is extremely hard for people to do, to be critical of ourselves that, hey, I'm the reason there's a problem. So I need to make the adjustment for it to be better at a later point. So I think if you get better at like, this is not personal against myself, it's just simple fact of how do I make sure that this issue isn't going to feel the same or be reacted to the same the next time around because it caused so much extra time, you know, and planning super things, you know, we're talking about basic things like chores, but even in a business, I think you can predict certain things and really thinking about the hard things. What happens if I lose an employee or what happens if I'm out for a week? You know, what does that type of scenario look like? Or if it doesn't go this way, well, what are the worst outcomes and is it really that bad? And being able to deconstruct and, okay, well, if it's not, you know, that bad, okay, I can do this, this, and this. And I think that evaluation is just that internal discussion, either by yourself or, you know, with somebody, so that you can really figure out, hey, am I going in the right direction based on all the material and information that I have in front of me? Because I think that's the thing too. Well, I don't have all the information. Well, based on what you do have, what does it look like? What is it that you can do to make it better if you need to make it better? And I always like having conversations with parents, especially, no offense, Ben. But I hear a lot of people are like, oh my God, my life is crazy because of all the kids and all this stuff. And I feel like I can't be myself. No offense, but I'm like, I don't feel that way. I don't feel like, yes, life is chaotic. Like I have two kids now, but I'm like, I haven't felt that I can't still be a mom and a business owner and do all these different things. People ask me all the time, how do you manage that? And I was like, seriously, automation or delegation, or like there's also a team environment in my household. So like, I'm not doing everything. I do a lot, but I'm not doing everything. And I feel like that allows me either the brain power or capacity to still be able to be a mom to my kids, a wife to my husband, like all of those things that we still need to do. I just feel like people are not evaluating those things. Like if you're stressed out, you know, have you actually looked at that and seen, can it change? Is there something that can help you? Is there a way, you know, to make you not feel that way anymore? Is it possible? At least.
Yeah, I think that's great. And Ben, I want to get to what you wrote in our chat here in a second, but Laura Loney wrote, knowing yourself is everything. If it does not work for you, do not waste your time. This podcast is the second time I heard someone say that they use a laundry service. I believe you should spend your money, and how you spend it is unique for everyone. For example, if you use a laundry service, you may be judged by your family and peers. However, if you can afford it and it works for you, I say go for it. Well said. I love that. And I'm judged by my family, my dad specifically, because he's like a man's man, a contractor, he builds houses. I'm judged by him that I hire someone to mow my lawn for $60 every week. He's like, why don't you get on the lawn mower and do it yourself, kid? He says. And I'm like, Dad, why would I spend an hour and a half doing something that I don't enjoy when I can pay someone to do it for me, right? And that allows me the time to focus on growth. And if you're asking, well, I don't, if you're saying, I don't have time to focus on growth, I don't have time to read 10 pages a day, I don't have time to get to the gym, I don't have time to work on growing that side hustle or that business of mine because I'm a parent or because I have a full-time job, then maybe ask yourself, where are you spending time right now in your life that is a distraction, that is something you can eliminate, that is something that you can automate, right? Write down every area of your life. As an example, like Christine, you said you're a mom, you're a business owner, you're a wife, you're a friend, you're a sibling. Like, I don't know about the sibling part. I'm guessing that you might be a sibling. You're shaking, you're nodding your head. So yes. So you have all these different roles that you play. Write down each of those roles that you play. And I challenge everyone listening, write down each role that you play in your life right now and write down what are some different actionables in each of these areas that you can begin to automate. Maybe if it's you, like, stumbling around trying to figure out what you're going to get your dad for his birthday or like your niece for their birthday and trying to figure out when their birthdays are every year. Maybe you just go to your calendar and one time, like you said, Andrew, put in your calendar when their birthdays are each year. So you know it's coming up, and maybe set a reminder for a week before that or 2 weeks before, or if you're like me, 2 days before, to go out and get a gift for that person, right? That way you're not wasting time that you could be spending on growth, which again, growth is optional. Right. So it's up to you whether you grow or not.
Can I tack on one quick piece to that?
Totally.
I remember a story of someone I have a lot of respect for, and she shared this, that same concept. Like, she had a coach, and the coach was like, okay, everyone, and she's doing like a seminar, right? Okay, everyone in the seminar, go ahead and write down all the roles that you play. You know, and so like this lady is a player, go getter, and she just starts writing out all these roles, right? And meanwhile, she's just come out of this phase of like the worst burnout of her life. Like, her body just like literally collapsed on her, basically. And so she's writing out all these roles and she's awesome and whatever, right? And so then the presenter's like, okay, raise your hand if you've got 3 roles. And, you know, everyone's hand goes up, right? 5, 8, 10, 15. Right. And then everyone, you know, hands start going down, right? 27. Right? And the one lady still got her hand up, but nobody else does. She's like, yeah, I'm the best. Right. And then the lady up on stage is like, you're doing way too much. You do not have the capacity to take on that many roles. And her recommendation was 6 roles. What are the 6 roles in your life that you're going to play and play well? And so, you know, I've always tried to kind of think of it in terms of 6, as far as like, okay, I'm a husband. You know, for me, I'm a Christian. That matters to me. I want to play that role well. I'm a father. I want to do that one well, right? Home life, boom, there's 3 roles already taken up, right? So what else am I going to try and do, right? Am I going to be a coach? Am I going to be a content creator? Am I going to be a speaker? Am I going to be, right? All these other things that I want to do, I got to start analyzing, like, does it fit, right? Does it fit into what I'm trying to do? And so, you know, often when I try to do too much, that's when I'm in my most stress. That's when I have too much going on, is I'm trying to have too many roles. I'm trying to do too much. And I think, you know, continuous improvement and that concept really ties into, like, sometimes you want to add and you want to fix and you want to automate, but sometimes you just need to drop it. You just got to cut it out and let it go. So anyway, cut another quick concept just to kind of follow up your idea.
Wow, what a cool challenge that is, to go from 27 roles to 6. I already like wrote down some of mine. I'm curious to hear what everyone else's is. Put some of your roles in the comments. Let us know what your most prioritized roles are and what ones are most important to you. And Ben, you mentioned that you have an acronym to help us with this concept of Kaizen. And we all know that acronyms help us remember things, and acronyms are a beautiful thing. So Ben, what do you got for us?
Acronyms are essential for every episode.
It's my greatest work. And it kind of ties in a lot of what we've been talking about. So this isn't part of the acronym, but it's the start of all of it. It's beginning with the end in mind. Like, what do you actually want? What do you actually want? And I don't think we need to spend hours figuring it out. Most of us already know that. So we write down what we want. And then the acronym is HIP. H stands for habit. What habit do I need to put in place to get to where I want to go? Like, what habit do I need to initiate to bring into place? The I is more a mindset thing. It's incremental improvement. So I know what I want. H is habit. I, incremental improvement. It's a mindset. This isn't going to happen overnight. I need to commit to incrementally improving in this area. And then P is just tracking your performance. tracking the improvement as you go. To give you guys like the simplest example ever, let's say you want more revenue in your business. So a habit you can make is making one sales call a day. Ideally, you're maybe sending 10 DMs a day or an hour a day, but let's just make one sales call today. It ends up not being that scary. Then you can incrementally improve. Tomorrow I'll make two. I'll make three the next day. I'll make four. I'll make five. And then before you know it, you're committing 45 minutes a week to making 20 sales calls. You're tracking your progress, and maybe you even find that the sales call approach isn't working best for you. Maybe you pivot to sending DMs, to sending 10 DMs a day. But if we're not tracking our progress and incrementally improving on the habit we put in place, we're not going to get there. If we're trying to lose weight, sometimes we just need to put on a pair of shoes, running shoes. Maybe we run around the block. Maybe we commit to running in place for 45 seconds or doing five jumping jacks. And then 90 days down the road, you're signing up for a marathon. It's the incremental improvement. It's the tracking of the progress. It's putting into the habit. But it's really hard to know what to do if we don't have some clarity on what we want. So that's HIP. Gain clarity. Begin with the end in mind. And then you do the HIP method. Habit, commit to incrementally improving, and then just track your progress. It's really that simple.
I think something else to note here too is I think most people have a hard time with change, right? I would say even all four of us, right? We have a hard time with stuff, especially if it's not something we really want to do.
Ooh, Chip, commit to change. Chip.
Commit to change. I think the, you know, like the atomic habits mentality, right? Like such a small percentage of change. If you're doing that small little thing all the time and you add on more over time, right, you're going to make a much bigger change. Just like that one degree of change, you'll end up in a completely different place, right? And I think that's something that is good to be aware of. Like, all right, we're going to make some slight changes, right? So you hire a laundry service, you hire someone to come clean for you, just maybe just do the bathrooms because that's something you hate doing, right? Some small thing, like what does that do for you on the other side? Like, how does that make you feel? And I think if you're able to evaluate these small incremental changes, like you want to train for a marathon. Okay, you can't just go to the gym and run on a treadmill. Okay, so what are the smaller steps that you can do to get you to the same place, even if it takes you a longer time to do that? And maybe as you get more motivated, because I think that's the thing too. We are more motivated when we see results. And if we don't see results right away, sometimes it deters us from continuing to make that change, even though we were like super close for something to happen. And that consistency is extremely important, but sometimes consistency doesn't mean you're making massive movements. You're just making slight movements. And I think that's something that we forget as humans because of that need for that immediate like ROI on whatever that is. Like, I hate doing laundry, so I'm just gonna, you know, massively hire it out, right? Well, what are some small things you can do before you get to that point that may make it better, right? Getting that washer dryer combo instead of hiring it out, or like, wow, that made a huge difference. I didn't have to worry about it. It went off when it was completely done rather than, you know, me having to make the actual switch, because that was the hardest. That ended up being the hardest part. You didn't even realize it until, you know, you figured out that gap.
Christine, you made the acronym so much better, because what the analogy that came to mind is the tortoise and the hare. Why do you think the tortoise beat the hare? Because they chipped away a little bit at a time.
Wow.
Hey. How do you create a masterpiece? You chip away. So if you commit to change, enact a habit, improve, and track your progress, it really doesn't matter. You can be the tortoise and you're going to beat that hare.
Right. Go slower to go faster, right?
Ben is the modern day Socrates. Change my mind. Ben, I love that acronym, and I love your addition to it, Christine. Chip. Commit to the change you want to make. H is create the habit. I is incremental improvement. And P is performance, especially tracking that performance. And let me just say, when it comes to this acronym, I have improved at guitar more in the past 3 weeks than I have in the past 10 years. Because I think that we make an assumption that an act of doing something is improvement. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. For years and years, I started playing guitar when I was 15. I'm almost 30 now, so almost 15 years. For the first 5 years, I took lessons. I had a growth plan. I knew exactly where I wanted to grow, where I wanted to improve. I had to learn all the things that I didn't know, like the chords and how to learn the fretboard and learn specific songs and all those things. But eventually, I just started playing the same things over and over and over. And even when I learned a new song, I was just recycling the same chords that I've been playing over and over and over. But recently, I've employed your acronym, Ben and Christine, CHIP, to my guitar work. I bought a course for $200 on how to get better at guitar. But the first step was I said to myself, I want to actually get better at this thing that I've been stagnant at for so long. And I created a habit. Every day, I'm going to practice for at least 15 minutes. Usually, that turns into 30 minutes. Sometimes, it turns into an hour. I started to make incremental improvements. Every second day, I moved to the next module, the next lesson in the course. And the most important part of this whole thing, I think, is the P in CHIP, which is the tracking of your performance, right? P for performance. I have literally a tracker on my fridge, and anyone can use this strategy. It works very well for me. I have a tracker on my fridge that I make an X. It's like a calendar. I put an X through the day of the week that I practiced, right? And you never want to break the chain. So I have X, 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 X. And only one time in the last 3 weeks did I not practice. So in the middle of all of my X's is a blank space. And nothing bothers me more than looking at that practice sheet and seeing that blank space. So if you could create a practice sheet for something in your life, what would that practice sheet be for, right? And Laura Loney wrote, I love the HIP method, starting with the end in mind and being willing to pivot. I love writing a list of your small wins, all of your smaller steps to read when you are discouraged. I love that. I actually have a note in my phone of all my wins, and I should update it. It's been a while. But when I'm having a downtime, I actually look through that list. So I love that, Laura. For example, buying running shoes, putting them on and going around the block, set up a meeting with a friend to run together 3 times a week, which definitely adds in accountability. So very great contribution, Laura. Thanks for sharing that. But Ben, I love your acronym, brother. In the last amount of time that we have here, which is like 10 to 15 minutes, I'd like to ask you guys a couple existential questions when it comes to Kaizen, if you're up for it. And I'm curious to hear what you think. But the first out-of-the-box question would be, I want you to picture a world where everyone adopts this Kaizen philosophy into their life and business. What does that world look like? And anyone can take it.
No more litter. Think about environmental concerns as an example. And how if we just one by one made more conscious decisions, how we could help the environment.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty massive. I mean, I think people would feel better about themselves, right? If they know that, hey, I don't like how it makes me feel, right? Whether it's work environment, home environment, relationship, social circles, like all of the things. I literally think a lot of us just, well, that's just how it is. No, it doesn't have to be like that. Why are you living like that? Just because your dad said, well, just deal with it. No, you don't have to deal with it. If it doesn't make you feel good, leave. Get out of it. Make a change. How much happier could you be?
And I'm starting to think about like major life events for people, right? Divorce, getting laid, yeah, especially negative life events, right? Getting laid off from your job or whatever else, right? If you've been continually improving in these areas, like it's unlikely that those things are going to be as impactful or even happen, right? If you're continually improving as a husband or a wife or with your spouse, like as long as you're keeping a good rate of continual improvement, you should be okay. I think what kills marriages is people stop trying, right? And what kills people at work, you know, why do large companies love laying off large amounts of people at a time? Like, they just need to chop the bottom 10% because those people stopped caring. You know what I mean? Like, if those people cared, how much more productive could that company have been? How many more bonuses could that company have handed out? How much more impact could that company have made in the world if people just got a little bit better at their work, if they were able to execute a little bit stronger, make a couple more sales calls, you know, deliver a little bit higher quality service to the people that they're serving? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so much would change from a continuous improvement standpoint if we apply this to multiple areas of our lives, not just work, not just things that we're doing, but how we are and how we're showing up in all these areas.
Yes. Tony Robbins says, if you treat the end of the relationship like the beginning, then there will never be an end. If you treat the role that you're in at your company like you did when you first got that position, then there will never be an end because you'll be grateful, you'll be driven, you'll be excited, right? Treating it like the beginning is super important. Alan Caraway wrote that he would call that Kaizen Future World Coach Town because everyone would help you grow. That's super cool, Alan. Thanks for that. Thanks for that addition there. Thanks for that contribution. I would even go as far to say that, yes, people wouldn't litter. People would just be better people in general. But I would say that if we were all constantly focused on improvement and we just focused internally ourselves and each did this, then everyone would do it. And I believe that we could eliminate wars and we could eliminate people killing other people. We could eliminate all these things if we just focused on improving ourselves. We wouldn't be so focused on what the other country was doing, the other nation was doing. We would only look at it from a place of what are they doing better than we're doing and how can we improve one by one to implement something similar or the same in order to model their success to get the same result rather than going over there, attacking them, creating war, creating troubles and problems. I believe that if we implemented Kaizen in our lives individually, then as a whole, we could eliminate fighting, we could eliminate war, and we could embrace peace and love. Next, and maybe final existential question. Imagine that there was a Christmas and Thanksgiving, a holiday. Imagine there was a holiday that celebrated Kaizen each year. What tradition or practice would you or other people observe on that day in order to honor the tradition of Kaizen? If you could only do one practice, what would it be?
First thing that comes to mind is I would fast, and we can go down the rabbit hole with this, but the difficulty, I struggle with eating habits are terrible. I could probably use your guys' advice on that one, but choosing, it's hard to eat well because you have to eat 2 to 3 times a day. So you need to make that decision 2 to 3 times a day. And it's so easy for that precious, unhealthy food to be part of that decision. You know, it's you can't not eat. So a good way to rewire my brain that I have control over my choices would be just to fast for an entire day. And today I ate perfectly. And then tomorrow, maybe I'll eat one less slice of pizza, or maybe I won't put the pepperoni on. But I don't know. Fasting's coming to mind for me.
For me, the first thing that came to my mind is Festivus. And the reason is like that, the airing of grievances. But like in that sense, like what if you like actually took time on a certain day to actually look at what does need to change? Like, hey, you had a day every year where instead of just griping and complaining about stuff, like kind of like a Festivus might be, or the airing of grievances, right? Maybe instead of that, it's more of like, what is going wrong? Where are my opportunities? What can be improved? And you just kind of maybe have a practice of identifying what an opportune change might be, and then committing to that change, as Ben so wisely taught us through his CHIP acronym.
I think it's similar to what Alan made a comment, like, you know, value, mission, vision, check. So, you know, along your lines, Andrew, and you know, the Festivus is a good point, right? I think it's good to like, all right, almost like the Marie Kondo way, right? Like, what isn't making me happy anymore that I can have some control over making that adjustment, right? And it could just be something so small that we've let go for so long, like, a really good example is that my kitchen sink would back up all the time, and it was worse. It's worse right now because of the whole bottle situation, having to wash bottles all the time. And so every time run the water for 2 seconds and it would fill up on both sides. Right. And it was just something that we would just deal. We just dealt with it. Right. And I'm like, why are we doing this? What are we dealing with this? Right. What's really wrong with this? So I called my plumber, right. I call Anthony. I was like, can you come look at this? I think it's clogged somewhere, like deeper in the pipes, right? He ended up being here for 4 hours. it was like clogged since like 1982, I'm pretty sure. Like, cleaned it out to like beyond belief. So now it's totally fine. Like no clogs whatsoever. But I think it's amazing like what we're willing to let slide until we have that evaluation, until we realize like, oh, this is kind of a problem. We should probably fix that, right? So, and I don't know if I would do just one day a year. I think that evaluation really needs to happen like a couple times a year, quarterly, because
one day a month.
Yeah. Because I think if you waited too long, like that's 11 months that you could have made slight adjustments, right? And, you know, because I think people do that. A good example is like the New Year's, right? Everyone goes to the gym. I'm going to make this change. The problem with that is come February, they stop. Well, why is that? Because there was no preparation for what that was going to look like. Well, I'm just going to start going to the gym. It's not, it's simple, but it's not that simple, right? Do you have accountability? You know, are you putting it in your schedule? Are you putting it on your calendar? Like, are you doing one class? Are you spending a whole hour? Like, what are you doing, right, with that change? And is it sustainable? So I think that evaluation is, you know, once a year should be like, okay, what have I accomplished? What changes have I made? But I think for continuous improvement, you got to evaluate that a lot more.
Beautifully said.
Even every day. I'm thinking even every day in some scenarios.
Wow. Yes. And that goes along with what Alan said. And what Laura wrote is placing beautifully illuminated lanterns floating on the lake to celebrate everyone's progress in the past year. Super cool. And maybe if you're not by a lake, maybe you can get some of those, like those, you know, Chinese balloon things to, you know, not the one that came over here and was spying on people, but the other ones that you can fly up in the air to celebrate achievements. I love where this podcast goes sometimes, but yes, Laura, that's a great idea. And Alan, I'm just going to steal what you said and what you said too, Christine. If there was just one day a year that we had to celebrate Kaizen in some shape, way or form, it would be everyone just staying home and taking out their journal and notebook, maybe not staying home, maybe getting together with everyone else to do this exercise where you write down what your six values are, or your six roles, I should say, which kind of are similar to your six values. Write down your six roles. Have they changed since last year? Write down what worked last year, and write down what some, I think it was either Ben or Christine who mentioned what's not working, what do we need to improve, and write down your plan on how you're going to improve that this year, so that by the end of the next year, you can look back and see what you improved on. But like you said, Ben, you know, what would happen if we celebrated Kaizen every 6 months? What would happen if we celebrated it every three, every 1 month, maybe even every day, right? What you track and measure grows. And that's the P in our CHIP acronym of performance and tracking that performance. So guys, I've loved this conversation on Kaizen, and I am grateful, and we're grateful to everyone who tuned in and contributed what Kaizen means to you and how you would use it to promote a better world for everybody. This has been the Lunch Break ABCs. Be sure to keep an eye out for our next topic that we cover, which, Ben, you'll send out the poll and we'll share the poll. Every topic we talk about has been voted on by you, the viewer and the listener. So thank you so much for contributing. This show wouldn't be possible without you. And it was great seeing you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Talk to you soon.